Revelation chapter 2, as we continue to look at the seven churches and then on through this precious book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to begin reading with the 12th verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Precious words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we've come to gather together to sing these praises, lift up your name, and we need to please know that this is not our home, and we need to love to tell the story. Tell folks about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Tomorrow, Father, when we're down at the cemetery and the words are spoken concerning your Son, his death, burial, and resurrection, the life that comes with it, please just pierce the hearts of those folks and pierce the hearts of all of us today as we enjoy your precious word, listen to it. Let it touch our hearts. Let it move us, Father. Only with the presence of the Spirit. And as other churches, Church of Ephesus, the lampstand's going to be taken out if they don't remember, repent, and return. Smyrna, Father, had the battles and struggles with the very enemy constantly wanting to destroy them and killing them on sight when they would find a Christian. Pergamos, we're finding the same struggles, but we're also finding, Father, a compromising church. So, Lord, please, today, whatever place that you have put us, the location here with this church and the lighthouse that we need to be, I ask that you turn that light on bright. That we serve you and praise you. And we do, Father, thank you for those that have given their life to keep us free, served in our military, went for the very purpose of fighting for our freedom, and giving their life doing that. We lift up their families, those that are still here. Father, please just bless them, but most of all through that horrible time, we pray that they came to you, believed in you, trusted in your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they could be saved. Speak to our hearts now, Father, please, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we keep the review, we know that the church of Ephesus began to lose their first love. It began to fade away. And the only way that that happens is that they became, their eyes got to looking at things of the world instead of the things that were important concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were called, once again, to remember what they had. And in continuing to study, and any time that you are kind of going through something continually like this, any study that you have, you always need to kind of look back and look some other things and see what's going on there. And the comment was made at the early church age of the Church of Ephesus that they would really remember back to the days that Paul was there. Paul spent 3 years there. And so with that being there, and also John was there for many years in service. And so they had some great teaching and great preaching calling them to repentance and calling them to service unto the Lord. And so is that what that word remember stands for? Remember back what Paul taught you concerning me is what could be a comment that's here. And then Smyrna, we know, and of course the time period was during the apostles from about 33 up till about 100. And then Smyrna really doubles over that, as we say, from the year 33 up to about the year 314 or 316. The church went through a time period where just to speak the name of the Lord Jesus, much like they're facing right now in India, and that would cost you your life. And they would not just put you to death. They would put you through great suffering and agony in putting you to death. And so the martyring, whether it be with a cross or some brutal actions that they would take in the process. And the church of Smyrna went through that time period. Now we come to the church of Pergamos, and that's the third one. And so the reason we remind this, because I want you to be able to remember, what's the first church? Ephesus. What's the second church? Smyrna. What's the third church? Pergamos. Now, just three of them were all right, but now we get to seven. Why, we'll be able to remember six of them and never remember that seventh, I'm sure, except for we can go right to Laodicea. Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then Laodicea is the rest of them. And so just keep those in mind. Be reading these texts, looking at those, because something is taking place here in the church of Pergamos. That time period is from about 314, 315, up to 590. That is the time period. Now, once again, all seven churches are in existence at this time. All seven churches are in existence today. They have been all through the time. And also, there are seven church ages. And so what that church represents, the condition that church was in when the Lord Jesus was giving this unto John, that church age has a particular time when what was going on in the church of Pergamos went on during this time period. And again, it's for about 250 years. But it's a very sad thing that took part during the church of Pergamos, because it's called the compromising church. And we have talked about Constantine and what he did in supposedly promoting Christianity, but he did it with force. And it was even said that some of the folks, if you refused to be baptized, you were put to death. And so you're going to be a Christian. Well, when it starts out that way, you're going to be a Christian. Why, there's a problem sometimes that way. And so we need to recognize that and understand that when the time comes, that it is very important that you come by your free will, and you're praising God, and you're enjoying the presence of God because you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, when we look at this church of Pergamos, it is known as the compromising church. Well, it kind of started here with Constantine and in what he was doing. And at times, again, he threw all the heathens out, all the pagan religions and those that worshiped those out of his board of directors, so to speak. He threw them out and he appointed Christians. But instead of just appointing Christians into those positions, what he did, he would come in and he would pay them. He would pay them to come in because they were Christian. Well, a lot of people in turn came only because of that payment. Wasn't because they had trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Some other things that had come along at this time during this compromising period of that 250 years was praying for the dead, making the sign of the cross, the institution of Mass, the exaltation of Mary, and the doctrine of purgatory. Those things came about during this time period, this 250 years. And so it was, and we'll see why, it was called the compromising church. The love of Christ began to fade in the church of Ephesus. The church of Smyrna went under great, great persecution. And now we come to Pergamos, and what has happened, the persecution with the church of Smyrna was on the outside. And so the devil realized that, you know what, if this is going to work, if I'm going to destroy this, if I'm going to take away the power that this church, and he would see it as an organization, and I'm going to have to do something with this. And so the only way I'm going to be able to do that is infiltrate it. So I'm going to come inside. He's tried to fight it on the outside with the church of Smyrna, and it made him stronger. There were few in number, but they were strong. Now we come to the next church age and the next physical church, and that's Pergamos. And the devil decided there to come in. He's going to try to work from the inside out. That's the reason when you look at the 12th verse, the angel of the church of Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." That gives us an evidence, a thought of judgment that's going to come upon this church before we get any further. But we need to accept that and understand that. Now, we read back through a verse of Scripture back in Hebrews, but it's worthy to read it again, plus, again, in continuing to study, you find something else. And the thing that I enjoyed it with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, was that we should have read verse 13. We should have read the next verse as well. And so, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And so when we move then over and go back to these words, as verse 13 tells us, "I know thy works," that 13th verse tells us that he sees and knows everything. So once again, "I know," as in chapter 2, verse 9, "I know." History tells us that during this period of time, there were two emperors, and they were probably the most wicked of all. And those two, during the time period of 249 to 284, which was about a 40-year span there, and they went in to destroy on the outside. But what happened was, when Babylon fell, the devil decided he was going to move. And he looked around to see where he could find a decent place to live. We don't think about Satan doing that. And he wanted to find some place that was comfortable. And so out of all the churches, you would have thought that he would have went to the church of Laodicea. That would have been a more comfortable place for him. But everything was really better in the city of Pergamos for him. And so he decided to move from Babylon over to Pergamos. And that's where he set up his home, his center base. And his evil works really magnified out of that area. And so that's something for us to understand. There was great persecution in the area concerning the church of Pergamos. But even with that persecution, God tells us in his word, I know thy works. I know what you're doing. And that's not a bad thing. When he says works there, he means good. I know what you're accomplishing, even with everything going on. And then he makes another statement there, if you look at that 12th verse or 13th verse. You know, I know where you live. You live, and it says again, right in the middle of Satan's operation. So for you to have works, for you to have accomplishments, for you to move forwards in your Christian life, I know what you're going through. And that's what he's saying here. And what you have accomplished is you have held fast to my name. You have not wavered. You have held strong to my name. You have not denied the faith that I gave you. You believe that Jesus, that I died for you on the cross of Calvary, and all you need to do is come by faith to be born again and enjoy this wonderful Christian life. The day you were saved, you have grown. You have not wavered. You have not doubted things that you have been taught. So understand, please understand this, that I know. And I know something even more than that, as this 13th verse says. There was a brother of yours named Antipas. And we know very little about him. I have looked back in Josephus. I've looked in the Bible dictionary. I've looked every place that I can find. And this is the only place that this man Antipas' name is present. There's other people that's named Antipas, but this is a different one. It's believed that he was the first that was a Christian under the preaching of the gospel in this area. So he would have been one that thankfully stood up and said, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. But it, as in Smyrna, it cost him his life. And if you'll read these words, and you kind of read a little bit between the lines, but look at, again, verse 13, I know thy works. I know where you live, I know where you dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, thou hast not denied my faith. And even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. And look what the scripture says, who was slain among you. Did they come right in and murder that man right in their presence? I believe they did. I believe they didn't take him out some secret place and all of a sudden he didn't enter again. I think they killed him right before their eyes. And even that took place. And then it comes back with the end where Satan dwelleth. I think that Satan was so strong in this area that I believe the persecution was so great in this area, and that our Lord still would pull out and give honor to this one individual for what he has done. And Antipas here received a great honor. And so we look at this group here, and you think, well, now, what's wrong? How can we call this a compromising church? Well, we can call this a compromising church because of the 14th verse. And in the church of Ephesus, I have something against you. In the church of Smyrna, you know, we had no listing of a problem there. They just had great persecution on the outside. But now in Pergamos, I have things against you, more than one. And the two that are listed is the doctrine of Balaam, and then also the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now he praised those in the church of Ephesus, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And he says the same thing for himself, which I also hate, in the 6th verse of chapter 2. Now when we come here in the 15th verse, it says, which things I hate. And so he repeats that same words. But as we find now, these things that are a problem. Ephesus left their first love. The church of Smyrna here, they have this battle that's going on, but thankfully there has been nothing they've just suffered greatly, and yet he tells them, you're rich. Now, Pergamos, they have things that's the problem. What has happened to the church of Pergamos? They have allowed the coming in of other doctrines. Now, how does that happen? The church of Pergamos was born just like the church of Ephesus, just like the church of Smyrna. They came by faith to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit came into the presence, into that day, that they would have the power. There was a lampstand there, the presence of the Holy Spirit that would speak to their hearts. How does a church begin that domino effect of going downward until the last domino has fallen? Because that's where we're dealing with here with the Church of Pergamos. The teaching of Balaam, the teaching of the Nicolaitans, both were tolerated in the local church. Remember when we talked about Constantine, at the time they were meeting in their homes. But when he came to make this a universal religion, they started meeting in some of the old houses of the cults. So they started coming together into a building like we have, only it was a building where the worship of idols had been done, sacrifices of idols had been done. It was not a good place for these people to be. But Constantine, come in. You have to come in. And so that was a compromise right there. They should have stayed in their local churches, in their local homes. That's a problem when the church leaves the small fellowship that I believe that the Lord wants us to have. And you get into some of these mega churches. And we have the same situation going here because there is many different doctrines taught. One of them was concerning Balaam. Now, if you would go back, and we're not going to take time today, but go back to Numbers chapter 23, 24, and even part of chapter 25, you can learn of Balak and Balaam, and you can read that and find out a compromise because, Balaam was to curse Israel, but everything that he would hear, he couldn't do it. But then it all came about, and he decided that there were the condition that Israel was in, they should be cursed. And so let's just do it. And so he began to bring, and as we talked about, this is a time when man's authority kind of started. In other words, Jesus Christ was not the head and the authority of the church. And we could use a term that you would understand, and that was, this is a time when the Pope would have come in. And he was the intercessor between God and man, and so he became the earthly authority. And those kinds of things, and as we read earlier, some of the things that begin to move inward during this time would give us evidence to that. And the next church, you're going to find that it was the beginning of Catholicism. And so we're moving that direction, that no longer God is the leader of the church, but man is. And so when we find this, it's the same thing here. Because Balaam began to follow after things of man and not listening unto God. Now, Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block, as this scripture says, before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. In other words, to join in with the Nicolaitans and join in with the philosophy of Balaam and leave the Word of God. Now, what takes place in our lives and in the lives of many people when they begin to move away from the truth? The first step is we do lose, we begin to forget, to lose our first love. It has to start there, because that's the only thing, that's the only reason that you look to the world, is because you've lost sight of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And so we could go back to Pergamum, to Ephesus, where it says, remember. So we need to remember what he had done for us the day you trusted in Jesus as your Savior. So it needs to begin there, remember. And so as we look at those words, this group here gathered together with those that had the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and they just kept meeting. Well, the first thing that can happen today, and that is that you leave the old King James. That's the first thing. When you leave that, then that's the next step, and you're on a slide. You're going downward, and you think it just helps me. I just love it. It just helps me to study it. Well, it's an error. It's a mistake, because we must stay with the old King James Bible, because that holds us to the closeness of his precious truth. And when we allow ourselves to look at others, that's a temptation. And that temptation then leads you down that path, that it opens up your heart and your mind to many other things. When you begin to destroy the Word of God, you destroy the power that gives you the wisdom to know the truth. And that's what happened to these folks. They took their eyes off of the Lord Jesus. Even though all the things that God is telling us, the Lord Jesus is sharing of wonderful works, and it's unbelievable what they've done, but there's a problem here, because you're going to die as a church. Now, can we physically kick out people? that, I'll use the example, that don't use the King James Bible? No. But you know what happens? The Spirit of God convicts your heart. And you either say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm coming back to you. Or you take that Bible of yours and you walk out that door and don't come back. That's your choice. We have no power or authority. So what was the church supposed to do in Pergamos? The good church, the true believers. They should have walked out of that building and went back to their homes and left the worshipers of Balaam, the worshipers of the Nicolaitans, sitting in that church. That's what they should have done. And many times that has to happen because the world is so great inside the church building that they choose not to repent, not to change. And so we have to leave. We are forced to go somewhere else and gather together with true believers. So there's two things that have to happen. And I think that's what the Lord is chastising these people about. You have allowed them to stay among you. And not only among you, but what are they doing? What do we do on Wednesday night? After the study, what do? We go downstairs and enjoy some good food and some good fellowship after study. We have some good times. Well, you see, those folks would join. And so they'd be sitting downstairs. They'd be all visiting just like nothing was wrong. Well, that's what God's saying. No. And so when we come down here, and in Ephesus, Church of Ephesus, it says return. But here it says repent. Maybe they didn't have the opportunity of a Paul or a John to really give them the foundation that they needed. But it says repent. Repent. And just looking over at the second chapter of Revelation here, and in the fifth verse, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except thou repent. I'm going to take my power away. But you see, the church of Pergamos was much more wicked than that. And so he said, I will come unto thee quickly. Same words. What's he say at the end? And will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You either make this right. And I believe he's telling the folks in Pergamos, you get out of here. You get away from them. And if you refuse to, if you seem to like the fellowship with them, then I'm going to come in and I'm going to make war with you. Even though they're the true believers, but because they did not separate, that's where the compromising church started. The compromising church. Ministerial Alliance is a compromising unit. We'll all come together. We all say the same thing. We all believe the same thing. We're all going to the same place. In their case, that's pretty much true. But we're not going to be a part of them. We're not going to join them. The Word of God tells us not to. We have God's precious word. Enjoy it. Stand with it. We're already past our time. We'll begin there. He that hath an ear, let him hear, in the 17th verse next week. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll lead us each and every day. Lead us down the path of righteousness. That's why we're here. We're coming to grow closer to you, to enjoy your fellowship, to repent and turn. Sometimes we're here to remember what we had and return, and then get to work. That's what he told the folks in Ephesus. Remember, repent, and then go. Get to work. And that's what we need to do, Father. Time is so short. You're going to take us away and take us home here before long. We got much work to do. We need to be busy about serving you. So please touch every heart. Show those that do not know you as their Savior the way of salvation, and those that do know that path, that we understand how serious it is not to compromise, not to join in, not so that we can have this wonderful fellowship with someone that believes other than the way we believe your precious word. Look to the word of God. Stand upon it. Ask the Spirit of God to guide and lead each and every one of us through it, and we will have unity and fellowship together. Thank you, Father, for your precious word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.